Here's the thing. You know me well enough, having worked on the branding for Carex, that I'm a brand foundation guy. And one of the things that I really am concerned about is the idea of personal brands. In fact, my whole nonfiction brand diversity thing is all about building personal brands or small business brands so that you can achieve success in the marketplace by having people know who you are, what you do, and the way you do it, well in advance of them ever meeting you. So it's really interesting being able to speak to you, who's on the other side of the hiring table, if you will, or at least you're an agent or a bridge between the candidate and the potential slot at a company. And I wanted to kind of test some ideas on you, because obviously right now the predominant way to get a job is to get your CV out there, your resume out there, recommendations, things like that. And coming from your side of the fence, is that still the predominant way to get in front of people, to get their attention?
I think that's always going to be part of it, DP. That's always going to be you need to get that resume in front of people. Otherwise, you know, even in with modern technology and everything like that, you're kind of sunk if you can't get something in front of them that says, hey, here's who I am from a professional experience standpoint. But everything you're doing with personal branding is endlessly fascinating to me, because I think that there is a lot more to it these days, and companies are looking for more. They're looking to understand people better. There's a bigger focus on culture. The requirements of the job, the requirements from the candidate side have gotten a lot more complex. So I think the more rich picture we can build of each other, meaning the candidate for hire and the hiring company, it's only going to produce better results if we can really get to know each other, at least on some level prior to an interview. And I think that branding is a good word for that.
This is kind of a very special episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, because typically I'll talk to individuals or experts about how you can build your personal or small business brand in a way that is, one, doable for you, given your time, energy, bandwidth, and budget, but also, two, very effective using social media and things like that. I'm talking to Casey Likas, and he's the president of a company called Carex Consulting. Casey, can you give us a quick understanding what Carex is all about?
Yeah. Yep. Happy to be here, by the way. Appreciate the opportunity, DP. So Carex is a staffing and consulting firm based here in Madison, Wisconsin. Really good presence in the Madison and Milwaukee areas, going into our third full year of operations. So what we do is try to find people jobs, plain and simple. So we've got really two sets of customers or partners, as we call them. We've got our candidate pool, which is really anybody. It's you, it's me, it's everybody who is or may someday be looking for a new job or a career change, or just some advice or guidance on how to improve their resume, as it were, or their career path. And then on the other side of the fence, of course, we work with area companies that are looking to hire. It's a good business for us to be in right now, given, you know, it's a tough labor market and hiring is a challenge for everybody. So we kind of realize we have the right people and the right skills to help facilitate that. So like you said before, we're kind of in the middle. We help both sides out.
Now, I kind of have a unique relationship with Carex and the entire team there, including Casey. And this is kind of funny, because I actually interviewed you for the branding process that I worked on for Carex before you were hired on to Carex. Now, I'll be honest with you that Rachel kind of told me that they were thinking about bringing you on before I interviewed you. But I think it was several weeks after I interviewed you that you actually came on as the president of Carex. And at the time, correct me if things have changed, because it's been a couple of years now. At the time, you were really looking at a specific space in the market, which was the electronic health records industry. Obviously, here in Madison, we've got very big providers of electronic healthcare records, software, and services, and a wide variety of them. And consequently, we have this pool of people available. Is Carex still kind of really honed in on that specific market?
Well, to put a little finer point on it, so obviously we do have a big player in the healthcare technology space here. But beyond that, that they have spawned a whole ecosystem of other companies that serve that same industry. They don't duplicate what the mothership does, but they augment it and they bolt onto it or they integrate with it. So as such, we have this wonderful ecology of healthcare IT companies here, and they're all looking for good people. At the same time, what we have is our principals at Carex and much of our staff who came out of that electronic healthcare space and just have massive networks. And we just know a lot of people in that space. And we kind of realize, you know, a lot of these people want something new and are capable of doing different things or want to take the skills and experience that they've built over the past 5, 7, whatever years and put it to use in other industries, either something that is adjacent, like those healthcare IT companies that I mentioned, or something totally different. Many of those skills are easily transferable. You know as well as anyone, if you come from one industry, you build up a lot of skills there that you could walk down the street and take somewhere else and provide a fresh set of eyes, fresh set of ideas. So that's what we try to do. So we do work with a lot of folks that used to work for Epic or that have been in and around Epic throughout their careers. But a lot of times where they land is somewhere unexpected.
When we worked on the branding together, one of the concepts that I developed based on all the input I got from you and Rachel and the rest of the team was that when you have been through the, let's call it the trial of a certain software company, you've pretty much earned your stripes. And as someone who's successfully navigated that challenging professional environment, you're very valuable to people who are not necessarily in that company. You referred to other companies that want battle-tested, battle-hardened individuals to come to their much easier battlefield, if you will, or different battlefield. And what you're saying, the way I'm hearing it, is that yes, experience in sector is important and can be very valuable to you, but that does not preclude you from going to other sectors or other businesses because they aren't necessarily buying a specific, how can I think of this, instruction set. It's not like they're buying a software package for accounting. They're buying someone who can learn accounting, can learn a foreign language, can learn sales processes, can learn new software things. And so consequently, they're more interested in the quality of the person than necessarily the quality of their specific linear work experience.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it. When you talk about that capacity for learning and growing, that's really what a lot of these folks that come from Epic have. And that's the secret sauce. You know, Epic is famous for being able to identify, screen, and hire really smart folks, people that a lot of them are right out of school. They've got good grades. They come from a good school. They pass all the right personality tests that Epic puts them through and the battery of interviews. And at that point, you have a pretty high likelihood that you've got a good person. And Epic has become very good at that over the years. And local companies know that, that reputation comes along with Epic. And that's been great for Carex because we can go talk to companies and say, look, we've got this huge pool of Epic people that we know or that we have access to, and we can help you get access to that. And that's been a really good selling point. Now, this is my problem, not yours. Going outside of Madison and talking about that is a whole other challenge. People kind of look at you cross-eyed and don't know what it means, but that's just one of the fun challenges we have as an organization as we look outside of Dane County.
That really begs the question then, because if the brand you're working for, the understanding of what that brand requires, does not necessarily go beyond a certain geographic region, does that become the thing you lead with? You know, like, hey, I came from company X. Well, if company X, their reputation doesn't exceed a certain geographic region, why are you leading with company X instead of leading with who you are, what you do, and how you do it, which is kind of the foundation for the whole nonfiction branding thing when it comes to personal branding?
You got it. That's exactly right. So that's a big change from when you and I talked a couple of years ago during that process, is that at the time, I think we had our vision of what we thought Carex was and what our brand was. And that was a big part of it. That was the lead at that point, was the Epic people. And that's been a big pivot since then, is we no longer make that our brand identifier or a key element. It's certainly a feature, I guess you'd say, or it's a truism of our organization. But I think we've learned a little bit along the way, and we kind of now are able to talk a little bit more broadly about who we are, and we bring a lot of other skills to the table because we just realized that that brand is evolving and it's not quite so simple as what we thought. Maybe
that's interesting because there are a lot of people who like to put their kind of a brand name in front of their name. Like, I know that in the social engagement space, that a lot of people who may be expert in HubSpot, which is an inbound marketing tool, they'll lead with that. But guess what? If the company doesn't use HubSpot, that doesn't matter to them. And so this is my way of saying, stop putting someone else's brand out there as your lead and instead make your brand the lead. Why should I hire you? Well, because you've seen me on LinkedIn, you've seen me on Facebook, you've seen my blog posts or my videos or my live streaming, which is becoming bigger and bigger even as we speak. Do things like that help you place people in meaningful jobs that provide them with real job satisfaction?
Yeah, I think that is really the core of who we are. So we, this, like I said, this topic of branding is so interesting to me because I know and recognize we haven't nailed it yet. We just haven't. We try and we talk about it and it's an evolution for us. But really, the whole concept of nonfiction branding, as I've heard you describe it in the past, is so interesting to me because that is, we kind of stumbled onto that, or at least some of it on our own, which is that we are who we are. We've taken an approach of trying to really take care of people, our candidates in particular, spend time with them, meet with them in person, buy them lunch, get to know them, understand what, you know, who they are, what they want to do. Instead of being a company that passes resumes from one desk to the other, we've taken a lot more caring approach and we kind of step back one day and go, wait a minute, that's kind of who we are. Like, that's what we should be talking about more and not just talking about, but showing people through social media and through other channels, because that is really at the heart of who we are. And that, I think that's at the heart of why we've been successful.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding. And we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus. Oh my gosh, you said that key word, show, meaning we have to show anyone. And, you know, if there's a DP Knutton drinking game out there, it's time to drink, because I'm going to say the number one goal of personal branding is differentiation, to differentiate you from other people. The number one technique of personal branding is demonstration. You have to show that you are, in fact, different from all the other people out there. So everything you just said, Casey, was all about Carex demonstrating that they are, in fact, different from other placement firms out there by demonstrating through things like, hey, here's a picture of us out to lunch with a candidate, or here's the first day. I would encourage you to look back on the branding work we did, because everything you said is absolutely aligned with what was initially created in that founding brand nature document that we worked on together. Nothing's changed other than perhaps the accent that was initially put in terms of some of it on the company that we talked about earlier. If that's turning out not to be the big deal, that's fine. That's just like saying, well, instead of blue, we're more of a light blue. Okay, great. That's a gradation change. It's not a sea change. It's not a 180 degree change. It's more like a 5 degree calibration, if you will.
Yeah. Or if you're a software company, it's, you know what, that feature's not working anymore, or that is no longer something we want to do. So we turn that off and we try something new. Of course, your business and the services that you offer as a business and how you define those services will change over time. But I would agree with you. The core and the heart of it is still the same as when we did that brand nature exercise. And we do still refer to that, by the way, from time to time. So thank you for that.
Oh, yeah. Good. Well, I would hope so. Because a lot of great work went into that by the entire team. And that's the whole thing too, is that when I work with companies like yours, it's not just me listening and pontificating. It's more like a back and forth collaboration thing, you know, and I think that's what makes it so valuable, is because we're able to craft and communicate, or what I like to say, discover, craft, and communicate the true, completely you, completely true brand that you actually are. Right now, we're talking about the case of a smaller business. I mean, how many people are on your team right now?
With our contractors, we're about 50 right now.
Wow. So when I started, it was maybe 5.
Even fewer, probably.
Yeah. Wow. So you guys really are taking off in a meaningful way. So that's congratulations on that. Let me ask you this. Are your customers, the people who actually hire candidates that you offer up, do they see your brand in action in the way you serve them?
I think you'll get a different answer probably from different partners that we work with. And we We do call our customers partners. So if you hear me saying that, that's just a muscle memory thing at this point. But I think some of them do. Some of them we have a better opportunity to show that. And those are the ones where we've been really successful, is where we have a true partnership and a relationship where we can sit down and understand what it is they're trying to do as an organization. And I'm not just talking about from a hiring perspective. I mean, what the business goals are strategically, where the organization is going, culture. And, you know, I'd love to, one of the things I was hoping today is we could talk more about culture a little bit too, but understanding that is really important for us. And when we are able to do that, we are able to be more successful and be more valuable to them than if we just pass even the best resume over the wall. Anyone can do that. Like, what we want to do is think ahead and be able to proactively identify a pipeline of candidates that might be needed by them 6 months down the road because we know they have an initiative coming, or whatever it might be, just to understand and know them better, vice versa.
Well, it's interesting that you said another one of my buzzwords, which is culture, because get out that drink because it's time to take a shot in the DP Knewton drinking game. Because one of my favorite sayings is brands say, but cultures do. So a brand can say, we are this, we do this, this way and all that, but it's the culture that actually performs that which is promised. And I like to say that brand and culture are two sides of the same coin. And which one starts first? I actually have a whole presentation on culture chicken, brand egg, which comes first. And the answer is, it depends. In the case of Carrick's Consulting, you know, you guys brought me in pretty early in the whole founding of the company to help define the foundational brand that you can now build everything upon. So that's an example of brand first. But a lot of companies are a little bit different, especially family-owned companies. If you're transitioning from generation one of a family-owned to generation three, generation two didn't want to do it. So grandpa's company, grandma's company is now going to the grandkids to actually physically run. A brand has been established over decades, and now it's got to carry on with an entirely new generation. So that's where the culture is already there. It needs to be described, it needs to be discovered, and it needs to be communicated clearly. And the brand needs to be codified to reflect that culture. So that's a culture first example. Basically, from my point of view, you either start with a brand or you start with a culture, but both of them have to be completely aligned to be true to you and the marketplace. So when you're talking about you wanted to talk about culture, what were you thinking about talking about?
Something you mentioned strikes really true for me. So the fact that culture does, brands say culture do, I forgot.
Cultures do. And by the way, that is a t-shirt available on Amazon. Just look up Nonfiction Brandversity. No, it's not up there yet. Oh, there will be shortly a brand say cultures do design available on Amazon as a t-shirt.
Is it too late to get a Carex logo on the back of that?
Anyway, no, it's not. We should talk about that because get your logo wear back in that up. That would be good.
Yeah, for me, we joke in the office about culture quite a bit, and I get labeled sort of as the culture curmudgeon or something because, you know, it's like a C word for me because I do get a little bit frustrated, and I've written about this in the past. I get a little frustrated about culture as sort of an end. Like people think of it like, well, let's turn culture on. Let's do that. Like, why don't we do culture? And then they do. And companies and organizations spend a lot of money to implement something or buy a ping pong table or to do something that is just going to flip the switch for culture. And that, to me, that's a little insulting to actual culture and the true meaning of it. And also it's a little insulting to your employees too, to say like, well, we're doing these things in kind of a shallow way to try to make you happy and kind of shut you up, right? Like, to me, that isn't really what it's all about. It's about living the values that you have. And this, I don't mean to sound corny here, but I do believe that if you have values and you have a way of thinking and a way of treating people, and then you do that and you can talk about that and you can be promotional about that, it's much more authentic and it's much more nonfiction.
Exactly. And you hit upon it right there, which is culture is like honest.
Yeah.
I can say I'm honest all day long, but if I'm a liar, I'm not, you know, and culture, same thing. The idea of we're doing culture this week or this year, we're going to have focus on culture. It's like, no, you focus on culture by the way you talk to people, by the way they walk in the door in the morning and people ignore each other and there's no camaraderie. It's a very quiet office. It's almost like a crypt. That's culture. It's not a good one, but that's your culture, baby. And well, let me give you a good example. I think a lot of people have probably seen the movie Wolf of Wall Street. It was a Martin Scorsese film, you know, so it's got a lot of energy, a lot of verve, and a lot of, well, you think about those boiler room cultures where all those sales guys are just, you know, going nuts. That's a culture. And some people love that. All you have to do is look, not so much on LinkedIn, but certainly Facebook. Just look for the bros leaning up against a Lamborghini with stacks of cash. And they're talking to you about, man, you can do this on 2 hours a week and party all the time. And there are people who subscribe to that culture, even though that culture doesn't exist. They're creating a fantasy that unfortunately a bunch of people buy into. And then they get a shrink-wrapped bunch of binders that they never open and then ask themselves, why don't they have fat stacks of cash? And the answer is, one, your culture is not that culture. You can't buy it. You know, if you're a couch potato, you're never going to run an Ironman. If you're an Ironman, you aren't ever going to be a couch potato.
Well, you can't just say that you're one and have it be so. I don't know if you can never do it, but man, you can't just go change your outfit and come back and have somebody take a nice picture of you and say you're another thing. You have to be real about it. We talk so much about that at Carex, and even outside, like just talking with friends and colleagues and other people out there in the Madison community, this is a hot topic, right? Like you know a lot of these same people that are working to promote a bigger focus on culture within their organizations. And unfortunately, I just don't know that everybody really thinks hard about what that means. And I'm not saying we have it all figured out either by any means, but you know, we talk internally, this isn't like a company slogan or anything like that, but we kind of step back and say, like, what are we like as a company? What are our people like? What do we believe in and how do we act? And where we landed was we care, we want to be real, and we want to have fun. And if we do those things, granted, you got to do a bunch of business stuff around that. But if that's at the core of what you're trying to do, care, be real, and have fun, you're probably going to make pretty good decisions that will keep you roughly online with your culture track and with hopefully with your business goals as well. So that's what we landed on. And we talk about that and we try to bring that up when we're making tough decisions is this in line with who we are? Is this real? Are we being real with this decision? Is this a caring thing to do? Is it fun? Can we enjoy ourselves while we do this? And if the answer is yes, then it's usually a pretty good decision.
Well, we're going to find out if Carex is still fun in our upcoming episode next week. Right now, I just want to say thank you to Casey Likas for being on the podcast today. And I also want to invite everybody to join the Nonfiction Brandversity free Facebook group. All you have to do is ask to join and you are in. And also, you could really help me out by getting on iTunes or wherever you get this podcast and like, subscribe, recommend, or most importantly, review. If you can give a honest review for the podcast, it'll help other people find us. But anyway, that's all for this week. Join us next week when we find out if Casey's been able to lead Carex to the promised land of happiness and fun. In the meantime, I'm DP Knutton, and he is...
Casey Likas.
And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.